Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always.
Always.
Use your head.
You are now listening to Chair Shot Radio. Always use your head.
Here it is, another Sunday, coming into Mother's Day edition of Chair Shot Radio. Hello, everyone. It's Patrick O'Dowd back with his partner in crime on Sundays, Mr. David Ungar. And we have the distinct honor of giving you a Mother's Day edition of Chair Shot Radio, where we're going to talk about mom's favorite sport, hockey. Everybody knows out there, hockey moms are the way to go. We love them. You love us. Hockey moms listening, happy Mother's Day to you. Lugging that equipment in the SUV to those dirty-ass, smelly rinks where your kids skate around and fall all over the place until about fourth grade or so. And then they start to get some skills, and you know, and then you get into real deals with peewees and whatnot. But like I said, not here by myself, Patrick O'Dowd, with David Ungar. We are here for the Chair Shot Radio Sunday edition here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com. Dave, missed you last week, bro. Missed you. You missed a great conversation.
Oh, about R2-D2 ruling the universe with an iron appendage?
As the low-key most powerful being in the Star Wars universe. And as I said on the show, I went full Jedi. From a certain point of view,
you will find that many of the truths we cling to depend on our own point of view.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I see the argument,
even if I don't necessarily agree with it, I still see it. He knows everything.
He literally does. Like, that's the thing is, and I tried to explain this to Ray. Star Wars Rebels really set it for me. Like, before, or not Rebels, Clone Wars. When you watch how they use R2-D2 throughout Clone Wars, you're just like, damn, he just knows everything. They give him all of the secrets. But anyway, that was last week. This is this week. We have a playoff hockey picture, and we have playoff hockey starting this week, man, and that's going to be real exciting. So we're going to get everybody up to speed on where we stand with the playoffs. We do have one playoff spot truly in question. We have another one that's technically in question, but we're pretty sure we know how that one's going to pan out. And then this week's edition of Your Team Sucks was originally going to be me ragging on the St. Louis Cardinals. And since that discussion has happened, the Cardinals are now like in first place in the Central. And so I guess I'm okay. But a new contender stepped forward. And it's not a team, it's an organization, and it's one that we love here on the Sunday edition of Chair Shot Radio, because we're going to go in on the NHL, because frankly, they've been a disgrace, and they suck. And so you're going to hear a lot of "you suck, you jackasses," I'm sure, when we get into the NHL as an organization. Am I wrong, Dave?
No, this has actually been a week where the NHL took front and center stage. You know, and usually it's this time of year, everybody's talking NBA, baseball, that sort of thing, the NFL draft, but and of course, Jake Paul stealing Floyd Mayweather's hat and all that bullshit. But this week, yeah, the NHL took center stage and caught a lot of shit from a lot of people, and a lot of it's well-deserved, as we will discuss.
Right. So why don't we get into it? I'm just going to play a little music, get us in the mood as we talk some hockey.
We'll be right back.
Okay, so let's get it. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, as we got loading in, we have a playoff hockey picture pretty much in place at this point, as the West is all settled with the stunning clinch by my St. Louis Blues in the most St. Louis Blues fashion. That's right, kids. We got our point via tie to go to overtime, and then probably lost to Las Vegas in overtime because we're the Blues, and we're pretenders. I'm standing by the pretenders. The East has wrapped up in terms of positions, though. We got one game to go. Is there any way that Washington can get Pittsburgh as of Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Pittsburgh's got one game left. The Caps have two. So
there's an opportunity for you to leapfrog Pittsburgh and still get that number one seed.
There is. Boston's got three left. So in theory, they could leap into first place as well. The Islanders, not so much. And the thing is, the Caps and the Bruins play the very last regular season game, which is highly likely to make this potential 7-game series an 8-game series. Cause I don't know how hard they're going to go at each other in that game. If really nothing's on the line other than seeding. I mean, now maybe if the winner of that gets home ice advantage for that series, then maybe, yeah, you're going all out. Right now it sure looks like, and it could change. Sure. It could change, but right now it looks like we're going to get Pittsburgh, the Islanders in the first round, and Capitals in Boston in the first round. And I mean, I've got my thoughts as to those two series as to where I think they'll go. I mean, if we're doing a mini preview right now.
Well, we can talk about it in a second. I do want to talk about the two playoff positions that are in question still. Let's move over to the Central real quick, because that's the intriguing one, where we've still got Dallas and Nashville separated by 2 points. With two to play,
each team has two to play. But here's
so that here's is here's, as of Saturday, by the way, when right. we're recording.
And here's the tricky part: Nashville, if I remember correctly, is playing the Carolina Hurricanes, who have clinched a division.
Right.
So Dallas, what do they have and they've got two with them. Dallas has got two with Chicago. So this is where it gets interesting. Is if you're looking, it's like, okay, Carolina's wrapped up the division. They've got nothing to play for. Yes, you want to stay sharp. You want to stay fresh. Dallas got a huge win just against, I forget who they beat. I think it was Tampa. Yeah, they beat Tampa the other night, which handed Carolina the division. If you're telling me, if I'm looking at this straight up and just saying, okay, Nashville's got two against the division champion who may take their foot off the gas some, but not a whole lot. And Dallas plays Chicago, who has absolutely nothing to play for.
Right.
I gotta give Dallas the edge here and think that they're going to catch Nashville and get. Now I don't know how the tiebreaker goes. I guess it goes head to head, and I don't know who's got the edge there.
Right, but head to head, how, like winning percentage,
like Nashville versus Dallas, like who they played each other 8 times.
Like they're against each other.
Yeah,
got you. I mean, I'm sure we could effort that if we really wanted to, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Cause that season, those two games we'll know by what, like Wednesday I think that's when,
right. They're supposed to wrap up. I think in theory, they're the first division that's going to conclude supposedly. And they could start as early as May 13th. So their playoffs would start first. I mean, right now it's Carolina versus Nashville, Dallas. The series that's going to be an absolute war is Tampa Bay and Florida. I mean, that's going to happen. That's etched in stone. It's just a question of who has home ice. Right now, it looks like Tampa's got the tiebreaker advantage there.
They got the edge.
That one's probably going to go 7, you know, at this point. And if Tampa gets back Kucherov and they get back Stamkos, I think Tampa comes out and moves on to the next round. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a hell of a series.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, again, they both play a very fun style of hockey. Well, like I love watching Tampa play, frankly, like just how fast they tend to play. Like they're all about speed, and I love it. Going down to Canada, technically Canada's still in doubt, but Canada's not in doubt. No. Montreal, barring some travesty, is going to clinch. They're 10 points up on Calgary, and that doesn't even really matter. It's because of Vancouver, who still has like 10 games to play, but is in last place. They're languid. They're terrible. They're just technically still alive for playoff contention, but they'd have to win out, basically, and Montreal would have to lose out to make that so. So I'm going to pencil in, when you look at the clinches, I'm going to pencil in the X there for old Montreal, and the Canadian Hockey Club will move on into the playoffs where they get Toronto.
Where
my Stanley Cup favorite, the Toronto Maple Leafs, will probably choke in the first round because that's what they do.
No,
I'm not. I don't think it's this year. This year, I'm happy that outside of a little hiccup, Toronto has basically been wire to wire in the Scotia North,
yeah,
if you will.
Exactly. And Austin Matthews has had, I mean, I think you're looking at the Hart Trophy winner right now is got to Austin Matthews or McDavid. Somebody from the North Division is going to win the Hart Trophy this year. But I don't like Montreal's chances against Toronto at all. I don't think they match up very well at all. I think Toronto in five is going to be my ballsy pick right here. Edmonton and Winnipeg is going to be the better series of those two. And that's a tougher one for me. I mean, Edmonton, I want to say Edmonton, I really want to believe in these guys, but it's hard, you know, and Winnipeg's no better because they tend to collapse as well. I mean, if Edmonton's got home ice and they do, you know, I'll probably go with the Oilers in seven mainly that's because I want to see Edmonton, Toronto. I really want to see that series.
Yeah, because everything in Canada is shaked out pretty clearly. Like Toronto and Montreal are going to play each other. Toronto's going to have home ice. Edmonton's up 7 points with two to play or four to play. So it's not like it's insurmountable. But again, like you know this, Dave, like most teams, out of most games, unless you straight up lose, you're going to get a point. So if you know you're playing the ties or whatever, Edmonton's going to be fine and they'll have that home ice.
Right. I wanted to go over to the West because I got to ask you. It's going to be the Knights and the Blues in the first round. I think that's...
Blues are going to get smoked. They're going to get smoked. They're going to, like, you messaged me yesterday. Blues clinched. And this morning I sent you a GIF. And it was a GIF of Randy Quaid from Major League 2 being like, whatever, they'll blow it in the playoffs. They will. They'll blow it in the playoffs. That's what the Blues are going to do. They're not good enough to I don't think they're like, even if they get out of Vegas, they're not going to beat Colorado, and I don't think Minnesota is going to beat Colorado. So like, I think your pick of Colorado, was it you that picked the Avalanche to go? I think that's still a good pick, and I think that they're going to come out of the West. Like, they're just, I don't know, they're the team. Like, I buy into Colorado more than I buy into Vegas, and Vegas is, you know, basically has the division wrapped up. So, yeah, I don't buy them. The Blues, I just don't. I get it. Anything can happen in hockey, right? Like, anything can and will happen in hockey. And a lot of times the top seeds don't win. The Blues just don't have the horses. They've been hurt. Their hurt guys have come back and they've shown grit and toughness. They've taken on Craig Berube's personality. But as a team, like, I don't buy them at all. And, like, I'll still watch them when they're regionally available out here on the East Coast, when I don't get to watch – when I am able to avoid being forced to watch Bruins playoff games. Like, I'll watch them and I'll cheer for them. But I just – I don't feel good about them at all.
They don't – they've done well to get to the playoffs. And I know you thought they were pretenders, and Arizona helped a lot by collapsing down the stretch, but St. Louis has played well the last couple of weeks.
They have.
I tend to agree with you that when you're comparing them to where Vegas is right now, and there's what, a 17? No. Oh my goodness. 21 point gap between Vegas and St. Louis. And that's a lot. And Vegas is a hell of a
team. Right, and I'll go back to my refrain that I've talked about all season about successful teams, and it's so funny because I can already hear people being like, "Well, no shit," but it's goal differential. Like, the Blues
are going to make the playoffs with a negative 7 in differential. Vegas is plus 59. Like the and the Blues have not been a positive goal differential team all season. They get their points through ties, and that can get you the playoffs, but it's not going to get you a cup.
No, and not when you have to rely Vegas, on. I mean, the overtime stuff doesn't work.
The Blues are going to have to steal one in Las Vegas, get either one or two. I think they're going to get swept. Like, I'm predicting sweep.
I'll give them one. I mean, and the thing you have to remember is that we're not in the bubble this year. So there is travel involved. Mm-hmm. There are going to be fans. You are going to get some of that energy. Of course, we know home ice means nothing in the NHL playoffs, but still.
It's meaningful home court advantage in all sports.
Exactly. But this year, you know, it will be different than last year where it was completely neutral. So I think you'll see some impact of that, but not enough here. Even with the fans in St. Louis, even if they charge back and play Gloria every single game, they might take one.
2 years ago.
Yeah, they might take one. Colorado, Minnesota is going to be a tough series, but I think Colorado.
I think it goes six. I think that again, the depth of Colorado, like it as you look at this, and all three of those teams are really, really good. As you know, you're separated by 5 points with a couple games to play. I still buy Colorado's depth. They can score from anywhere. Their defensemen are ridiculous. I've talked about Cale Makar for how many times. And I got to see him up close and personal because I got to watch him in college. But you can he's something special, and he is going to be good for a really, really long time. He's only 21.
Oh, Colorado's like, loaded.
Somewhere there. They are he's ridiculous.
They are loaded. Vegas is loaded. I agree with you completely. Colorado in six against Minnesota. I 100% agree with you.
They remind me of those Pittsburgh Penguin teams with Lemieux, Yager, and just talent top to bottom throughout that whole. And it's still like I question how Pittsburgh didn't win more cups with those guys.
They did win back to back cups. I mean, that's hard to do.
Right. But like dynasty, like you just expect it's like the Red Wings, right? Like you just expected the Red Wings in the late 80s, early 90s to just like they're going to be there at the end. And I don't know. It's shaping up to be an exciting time for playoffs. I'm looking forward to it. Next week, we'll actually be able to respond to some playoff results.
Yes. Let's go back to the East, though. I want to go back to the East. I want to get your take on.
Is it time for Dave's 2-minute rant on the Caps? You're not going to be mad at him?
I just want to see what you think. Right now, and this could change. We know this could change. But if it's Washington-Boston in the first round, your gut, your knee jerk reaction, who wins that series and why?
Is it going to hurt our friendship if I say Boston?
No, because I'm going to say Boston too, but go ahead.
It's the Boston, like this is going to really piss people off. It's the Boston grit thing. It's the Boston like toughness thing. I hate Brad Marchand, but if he was on my team, I'd want him on my team. I'd love him. Because Boston seems to have a way of getting under the skin of teams. And frankly, I question how together the Caps heads are based on where we've seen them the last week. Like, and what's been going on the ice with the Rangers, which we're going to talk about later. But Boston has a way of getting under the skin of teams and really impacting their ability to be successful. And I think they're going to take Washington. I think they're going to take one of the first two games in the series, regardless of where it is. Like, especially if it's a Washington. They're going to steal one from Washington. And then they're going to struggle. The Caps are going to struggle to get back. I think your goal problem that you've been worried about will finally rear its head because the playoffs are a different animal. And yeah, at the end of the day, I think Tuukka Rask is going to be probably the ultimate difference.
See, this is why I love you, Pat, because you hit right on exact. The Boston grit thing doesn't frighten me as much as the goaltending, because I think the Caps from a physical standpoint, because whatever we're going to say about Tom Wilson, he's going to be there and he is a force to deal with when he is on the ice and he's a big physical presence and you put him with Anthony Mantha, they can move Boston around and physically dominate them. it's the goaltending situation that is going to be a problem. And Tuukka Rask versus Vitek Vanacek or Ilya Samsonov, I agree with you. That's the difference. That's where the series falls apart. I take Boston in seven. I think it'll go the distance, but I take Boston in seven. Pittsburgh and the Islanders, as much as it would pain me to say this, I'll take the Penguins in six. I don't think the Islanders have failed to live up to expectations. And they just...
The Sabres.
Yeah, exactly. And Pittsburgh just does what Pittsburgh does. And Crosby's not getting any younger. He's like Ovechkin. I mean, and the thing with the Caps is it's hard to gauge them because Ovi's played, 3 minutes in the last 2 weeks? He's been sitting back. And I'm like, you guys are in the playoffs. Who gives a shit? Seeding doesn't matter so much. Let him rest. So, dropping a game to Philadelphia, whatever. But I think Pittsburgh just steamrolls the Islanders. Maybe New York might get two out of that series just because Pittsburgh has had trouble with the Islanders in the past, but I take the Penguins and then probably Pittsburgh and Boston for the divisional final, which is nauseating to the max for me. I suppose it could change. Ovi could come back and really make a difference for the Caps, but we'll see.
Right. So there you have it, folks. Dave and Patrick, both very down on their teams heading into the playoffs.
Surprising, but, right?
Right. And I am looking forward to next week to be able to actually analyze some games and see where series are. The thing I love about the NHL playoffs is the way they just sort of roll through the early rounds. Like, as soon as a round is done, they're moving on to the next one, even if in a different division, they're not wrapped up with their round. And it's fascinating scheduling to me. So next week, we'll have actual playoff hockey to talk about. We'll be able to make some observations. And that's always exciting. But, and actually, I lied. Dave can talk about playoff hockey. Patrick has to work. So guess who's not going to be there for the recording at Chairshot Radio next week? Oh, that's right, Patrick O'Dowd.
Looks like I'll be calling PC Tunney to talk playoff hockey.
Or, yeah, I'm sure there's a hockey mind out there that you could probably bring on. I know they keep pushing some folks. In fact, Ray pushed one of his guys on us. So I can't remember his name, though. Is it Kyle or a Carl? Kyle. It started with a K. I think, yeah, Kyle. So there's some possibilities out there. Somebody out there, it's like when I talk about a Belaz. It's just a Belaz. If I say a Belaz, I'm technically correct. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to get into your team sucks, except this time it's your organization sucks, as we're going to go after the NHL. Before we do the recorded commercials, it is, of course, my duty to remind everybody to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and check out all of the great shirts we have available for folks. We have everything from the OG Chairshot logo to various shows on our radio network, such as Bandwagon Nerds and A Winner Is You. We've got sayings from shows like hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling and hashtag Journalism. And then, of course, my personal favorite shirt, Everyone Hates Greg, in reference to our good friend Greg DeMarco. You can get a regular style shirt for around $20, or if you're feeling fancy, want your giblets to feel nice, spend the extra cash and get it soft style. That, again, keeps us going week in and week out, giving you quality content. So head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Get a shirt. Help us very much. Thank you for your support. When we come back, your team sucks, NHL edition.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling?
Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right. Welcome back. It is time to tell somebody they suck. So, Dave, hit the soundbite.
You suck, you jackass.
Thank you, sir. And today, we are going to talk about an entire organization, a governing body, the bread of our Chair Shot Radio butter, or the bread to our Chair Shot Radio butter. That is the NHL. Because this past week, the NHL was a disgrace. Just a straight up disgrace. And I'm going to let Dave set the stage as to why the NHL was a straight up disgrace this week, because it was personal to Dave and his team, and involving his team, the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers. So Dave, why don't you set the stage for everybody, and then we'll go into why we're going after the NHL today.
Sure. Before I start, let me, and I heard this on another show, and I want to get the elephant in the room out of the way really quickly. Yeah, anybody who listens to this knows I'm a Washington Capitals fan. And I think if you asked any NHL GM out there, hey, would you want Tom Wilson on your team, especially this time of year? Most of them would say hell yes, because he is a goon. He's been classified as a goon, but he's not your typical goon because he has skill. He can shoot. He can skate. He can pass. He can score. He creates a lot of problems, and he's won a Stanley Cup. That being said, what happened was the Caps and the Rangers are playing each other in a pretty meaningless series at this point. You've got a goal mouth scrum going on with Buknevich was down on the ice, face down. There's a lot of stuff going. I mean, you know, this stuff happens. Goal line scrums happen, you know, this sort of stuff. But where it goes off the rails is in a couple places. Tom Wilson, the aforementioned, who has a history of disciplinary issues. That's the main thing to keep in mind. Yeah, a lot of disciplinary issues, including a 14-game suspension for an illegal check on one of the Blues players a couple years, in a preseason game, no less.
Yep.
He got suspended during the Caps Stanley Cup championship run. All that aside, so we've got somebody with a, you've got a pre-existing history here. You've got he's got a prior offenses. So Buknevich is down in the goal crease, face down. Tom Wilson puts a stick across the back of his neck, starts punching him while he's down. That's bad enough, but you can almost, I mean, in some ways you could say, okay, that shit happens. We know that a lot of cheap shot, little shots are taken at people in that situation. Where it gets really bad is Artemi Panarin, who's the New York Rangers leading scorer. He's not a fighter, folks. He's trying to help his teammate out, jumps on Tommy Wilson's back. Panarin doesn't have a helmet on. Wilson, who outweighs this guy by probably a good 50 pounds, throws him to the ground and then just slams him to the ice again, no helmet on. And the extent of the discipline that Tom Wilson faces is a $5,000 fine. And I think he got a double minor penalty and a 10-minute misconduct, not even a game misconduct, a 10-minute misconduct. And so many people were calling for suspensions, and based on Tom Wilson's prior history, how do you guys let, to put it in context, the $5,000 fine is the same fine that Henrik Lundqvist got a couple years ago for spraying water on Sidney Crosby. So that puts it into context as to what happened, and this was a cataclysmic, epic fail on the part of the NHL to protect its players, to protect its player safety, and just with a guy who has a prior history of this, you can't let that stand. And then to make it worse, the Rangers, go and they call out George Parros, the director of player safety for the NHL, saying how he's incompetent, how he should be fired, this and that. They get fined $250,000 for speaking out about this. It's just an absolute shit show, and I don't know how you justify or defend any of this stuff.
You suck, you jackass.
Right. There's no justification for it. There's no teeth to anything the NHL did. And I think the ultimate kick in the groin over this whole thing is what you just highlighted at the very end. So the NHL comes out soft on Anderson. Like, let's call it what it is. They come up soft on Anderson. Wilson. Right. Come up soft on Wilson. And then they turn around and get called out for it by the Rangers. Like, hey, this is ridiculous. And this shows it does. It's an incompetent move. And so you're like, well, then you get hit with a $250,000 fine. You don't have the right to call us out. And it's just, it's insane. And go back and watch, everyone, that video. Like, it's not like this was like a little quickie thing. Cause I was sitting there looking at it, cause another suspension was handed down in a completely unrelated event. Zach McGowan or McEwen was suspended one game without pay for kneeing Darnell Nurse during a game in Edmonton. And, you know, he knees him in the head. Like, it's a bad, bad hit. It deserved to be suspended. One game seemed, again, interesting. It's like one game, like the NHL is taking this like, shit happens. He shouldn't have done that. But one game, that seems plenty. Like, you're kneeing people in the head. You're headhunting.
Well, go ahead.
But you go back to that Rangers captions, and that thing goes for like 7-8 minutes. Like, everything gets thrown into chaos. And you get that? Like, that's the $5,000 and a don't do that again?
And I made the comment, I know we've been talking to people online about it. Part of the problem is the way the CBA is set up. And it puts it in that you get suspendable offenses when there is the intent to injure. And you've got the intent element of this, which is, it's something we talk about in criminal law a lot, specific intent to murder. And so you're looking at the intent to injure, and somebody somewhere felt like Tom Wilson didn't intend to injure Buchnevich. He sure as hell intended to injure Artemi Panarin when he slams him to the ice.
His season ended.
His season is over. Right. And so, like,
I don't care that they're not making the playoffs. You ended a dude's season.
Yeah. You get into the semantics of what is the intent to injure. The check that he did to the Blues player, I forget his name, a few years ago. Bad hit.
Dirty as hell.
Yeah.
And this isn't unfamiliar for the NHL. And this is one of the one comment that I made when we were kind of discussing this. And it got, like, we had a fun little discussion on Twitter with a couple of other folks too that were right there with us. But the NHL has always been soft on the player safety aspect. And so, like, I remember during the playoffs, the Blues run to the Cup in 2019 in both the Dallas series and in the Bruins series. We had a couple of players who got breaks with some dirty ass hits, and they got suspended. Like, and I don't want to say, like, they didn't get suspended. Like, we were down a guy for two games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, if I do recall correctly. And the name is escaping me of who it was, but it was a back check into the boards, and it was dirty. Like, the play was nowhere near anything, and we got caught for it. And, like, so the NHL has always kind of turned a blind eye to this, and is kind of like, it's funny. The NFL took so much grief over CTE and its attention to player safety. Yet here the NHL is still the wild, wild west. And so for Gary Bettman to come out and say that it is terribly unfair to question George Parros' professionalism and dedication to his role and the Department of Player Safety, I disagree entirely, Mr. Bettman. I think it is more than fair to question Parros' professionalism and dedication to his role, because he's doing a shitty job, and it shows.
About Tom Wilson specifically, I mean, he got suspended, like, during the Caps playoff run for like two games, for something he did that wasn't nearly this bad. And then he gets suspended for 7 games earlier this year for something that wasn't really this bad. It, you know, it's the behind the, you know, checking people into the boards and that sort of thing. That tends to get the attention of these guys. But something like this doesn't. There's no rhyme or reason to what they do. There's no rhyme or reason to when somebody's suspended. There's no rhyme or reason to the length of the suspension. None of it makes sense. It's all just random. It just seems it's such a shit show and clusterfuck as to what they do when they're talking player safety. What's a suspendable offense? How long do we suspend? And look, I'm a huge Tom Wilson fan. I really am. But I can't defend this sort of stuff. I can't defend what he did. You know, I don't know what you do. Do you suspend him for life? That seems a little bit harsh, but he should have probably been suspended for the playoffs. And I know, and that's hard because it puts the team in a really tough spot where you're like scrambling in the last week in this COVID environment. Hey, replace one of your top, you know, one of your top six players.
So one of your enforcers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this then also comes to the question if he's actively hurting his team, and when is enough enough? And if you're not going to send a message, what incentive do the Caps really do, or any team for that matter, what incentive do they have to really tell this dude to tone it down, right? There's no place for it. Because if you know what the result's going to be, and you know that, okay, we're still going to get him for the playoffs, like, I don't blame the Caps for just business as usual. Right. Like, because it's the bed they've made. And, you know, whether it's the CBA or the NHL or a combination of the two, it's not hard to figure out, man. There's no teeth there.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's important to note, Tom Wilson's not the only guy up. Brad Marchand, you mentioned earlier. He's a dirty player, as dirty as they get.
Every hockey team has a player like that. Every one of them does.
Ryan Reeves in Las Vegas, I'm looking right at you. So.
Right. And that is, and I get it. It's so long been a part of the game. And this is where those old man hockey purists get this, like, well, we're softening the game. It's not toughening. People are seriously getting injured, and it's showing long-term effects to people after they retire. So, yeah, we need to change the mentality of hockey. It's the same thing with fighting. Like, I get that hockey and fighting is a part of thing, and I don't honestly feel like fighting needs to be removed from hockey entirely. But sometimes it's like, what are you doing? There's no spark there. You're just like, and Wilson, I think, is the example of where we need to figure out how to curb fighting in hockey, because there was nothing for it. There's no reason to rile anybody up. There's no reason to punch anything up. So,
right. I mean, fights are going to happen, and hockey fights are hockey fights. And by and large, you get nothing really. I mean, like when Ovechkin got in a fight with Svechnikov a couple years ago and knocked him out for the series. Okay. Those are rare occurrences where shit like that happens, but yeah, it's hard. You don't want to see it removed from the game because, yeah, it can give you an emotional boost. It can charge your team up. There can be reasons to say you're not going to push. If you're getting physically dominated and you try and get in a fight and fight back and charge your team up, it does serve a useful purpose.
It's different.
And people aren't typically getting hurt in these fights. But this was not that. This was a you know, talking the NFL defenseless receivers. And Panarin was defenseless in this position. And you can't have that. And if it happens like that, you've got to have repercussions. There has to be stronger ramifications than this. And this was an abysmal failure on the part of the NHL. There's no way to sugarcoat it.
And so on that note, we once again raise our glasses to you, NHL, and let you know you suck.
You suck, you jackass.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this Sunday, Mother's Day edition of Chair Shot Radio. From myself and David Ungar to all you hockey moms out there, I hope you agree with us and that the NHL is trash. And I hope you enjoy spending time with your hockey kids, watching some playoff hockey this coming week. Happy Mother's Day to all of you, and may your dentist bills be cheap. Dave, tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs as we wrap up this edition of Chair Shot Radio.
I love it. The NHL is trash, but tune in next week when we cover the playoffs. So,
fucking A, right?
That's right. You could check me out on Twitter at AttitudeAg. That is at AttitudeAgg, and on Facebook.com/AttitudeOfAggression.
And you can find me on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. Catch Dave and I here every Sunday for Chair Shot Radio. You can also catch us every Monday afternoon when we record, or when we bring you Bandwagon Nerds. We are starting the Hero Project this week. Top 10 heroes from television series. Should be a great episode with PC Tunney and maybe Ray Cash. We'll find out. We'll know when you know. That's going to do it for Chair Shot Radio here this Sunday edition. Hope everybody has a lovely day, and we will see you next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.